Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
So how's your arm doing today?
Oh,
any better?
God, or is it still so much? It hurts so it hurts to hold my Elite controller.
Oh,
I can't even play shit to take my mind off of it because it hurts.
Yeah.
Damn. Did you go? You went to the doctor, right? And they just said
they
it's
took an
nothing?
X-ray. They took an X-ray, not an MRI. They took an X-ray. They confirmed there's no broken bones. They felt it. They said that the tendon is attached and it's likely like some partial tear in my bicep, but they won't know.
Those hurt so bad.
Unless they do an MRI, which they won't do until I do a few weeks of physical therapy. And they didn't even give me pain meds.
And the one, what's even worse about that, if it is a partial tear, physical therapy isn't going to make it better.
Nope.
It's just going to make it literally worse. Oh, God, that sucks. Oh. My arms hurt now just thinking about it.
Like,
Jesus.
I can move my arm if I need to. I can do stuff if I have to. But it hurts really bad all the time.
Yeah.
So Ashley got me a sling. Because they wouldn't even give me a sling. They didn't even prescribe me, like, high-powered ibuprofen or Tylenol, like...
Nothing.
Yeah, they... hospitals have been really not wanting to prescribe pain meds for the past few years, at least. They've been really, really against it, and then places don't have enough of it to give around for some reason. I don't know why.
No, it depends on where you are and who you are, I guess.
Yep. Good times.
Fair. Also, hey, Jacob.
Hey.
About time.
Well, come on in.
I mean, about time. I've been here for like 2 minutes. Just silently creeping.
We should have said something so we could have started earlier. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm Joe. I'm in pain. Aki, Bree, and Jacob are here. What's up?
I'm tired. I got like four hours of sleep.
I may throw up on air. Who knows?
How much have you drank?
Well, it's not how much. It's what I drank. And no. A day-old Sheets Caramel Coffee.
Oh.
Which is a milk-based product.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I accidentally took a swig of it thinking it was my Arnold Palmer, because I've got a bunch of those that are spiked. And they come in cans that are about the same size. And actually, they are the same size. I'm looking at them now. And I took a swig out of the can that I thought was my Arnold Palmer. And
it was chewy.
It wasn't chewy, but as I was swallowing it, I realized oh no, this isn't an Arnold Palmer. And, so my stomach has been a little iffy the last couple hours, and my mouth is doing that. That thing, where you're going to barf and your jaw kind of starts hurting a little bit and you're salivating a little bit more than usual.
No.
Yeah, it's doing that.
Nice.
So,
a bucket on hand.
I got a trash can, but yeah, you may just hear me in the middle of a review. Excuse me.
I don't joke because you might make it happen.
Oh, I know.
Are you trying to make it happen?
I'm not trying to make it happen, but I'm not going to stop it. Fair. All right. I've got my bucket right next to me.
Well, as someone who's just spent the last 2 weeks throwing up constantly, I hope that you'd it goes well.
You're like, I would appreciate it if you didn't throw up on air.
Oh, no, the sound won't bother me at all.
I kind of hope you do, because the sound would amuse me. Just knowing you're in pain brings me such joy, Jacob. Such joy.
Pain. Maybe I get off on it.
I'm the one in pain.
Yeah.
Like, he has a sore tummy. Fuck him. I have a torn bicep. It fucking hurts. Oh, God. Oh. So, yeah, like, I can't even hold the controller. It hurts to type. Hurts to use my mouse. I've just been watching a lot of wrestling.
So you're going to be playing a lot of one-handed Wii games, and finally that Kinect will get some use.
Oh, yeah. I haven't hooked up.
Although,
funny enough, I now have a Japanese Kinect.
I think you need two arms for that, maybe?
Maybe.
For the Kinect games? I don't know. Yeah. You'll have to find out.
I'm still not hooking it up. I don't care.
All right. Well, I mean, if you need a list of games that are easy to play one-handed... Nope. Okay. Disney Dreamlight Valley, you know.
I review enough games that you can play one-handed that he wouldn't need to hear any of them from you.
I'm going to hit the dark button.
Why, can your right arm not hit that?
Not quick enough, no.
Ow.
I'm in a sling, I said that. Dark.
See, like, we're going to be your physical therapy. We won't hit anything on the soundboard. You have to do it all yourself. So if you really want those sounds to be played, you'll have to do it yourself.
Got to really want to have it. I got to play it myself. Jacob!
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
Let's talk news.
I like that one.
I have a bit of personal something. I went to GameStop today. And it was depressing because I was next door ordering food and I had to wait like 15 minutes.
How did you kill 15 minutes in a GameStop?
It was hard. The place was really empty, like merchandise.
Did you organize all of their Funko Pops?
No, they didn't even have that many. Like the place was really empty of merchandise, like games were picked over. No, it's not.
Oh.
There was like four customers in there, all male, and every single one of them got attention from the clerk, except for me.
Mm.
I don't know why. I was completely ignored.
You know, he probably thinks that, you know, well, you know, either he's afraid to talk to anyone with boobs or, yeah. Well, that doesn't explain all the guys, though, because I'm sure some of them had boobs. But anyway... Yeah. Probably like, she's a girl. She's just going to play Animal Crossing. Mm.
Yeah. Their Switch section was the only section that had a decent amount of used games. There was like hardly anything in the Xbox and the PlayStation section. I was kind of shocked. They didn't have hardly any peripherals left. There were no high-end headphones. I did see a pair of earbuds I was thinking of asking questions about, but this one customer wouldn't shut up, so I took a picture of it to go look it up on Amazon and then left. I'm really not sure how they're still in business.
I thought they were going bankrupt or something.
They kind of
they're just closing soon.
I mean, yes, but like they're just gonna like close a bunch of their stores and invest it all in crypto.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
I'll be surprised if the company makes it to the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked that apparently GameStops are going to have like 100 Switch 2s at launch.
Yeah.
Each one.
Who's going to have that?
GameStop. They're going to have 100 systems per store, allegedly.
Do you think they can afford that?
Well, I mean, people are buying them, so yes.
But are people going to buy them? Because I'm sure this is going to be pretty fucking
They're
expensive.
They're
going
to sell out immediately. There will be lines at GameStop. There will be lines at Best Buy. There's going to be lines everywhere. People will fight over them. People will scalp them. They'll sell over $1,000 on eBay. They're going to sell.
I mean, people fight over them. Do you think anybody's going to die over one this summer?
I hope so.
That's morbid.
I'm taking bets. Hope
someone dies?
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say I
hope. Aki said that.
I did.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, Aki says some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
It's what I'm good at. Leave me alone.
Let's talk news. Yeah. The Galaxy's gaming showcase happened. Aki, you have info on this, don't you?
Yes.
Give us some highlights.
All right. There was a fuck ton of games listed. Like a whole fuck ton. It was,
I believe.
Yeah,
something like that. I probably kept really good notes on like 15 of them that interested me, and the rest I was like, I don't fucking care. It was hosted by Jane of Outside Xbox, which was really interesting. It's a channel that I followed for years now. And yeah, they talked about a handful of games. Almost all of them I had never heard of. There were a few that I had heard of, like they obviously talked about Clair Obscura, like everyone has. They brought back some information on Ready or Not, which I hadn't heard from in a while. They talked about Power Wash Simulator 2, which, guess what, folks, is Power Wash Simulator, but with a 2 at the end of it. Yeah, they've added a local split-screen co-op to it, which is kind of cool for the people who want to play a PC game like that. So that was really nice. Almost everything else on here I had never heard of, which was really awesome, actually. Like Deliver at All Costs, which seems to be a delivery game where you drive a car and you drive it through everything that's in your fucking way. A guardhouse, go through it. A building, go through it. Another car, well, by God, you can crash into it and keep plowing. It has really interesting vehicle destruction in it. So as you're crashing into things, stuff is getting destroyed, and it seems like cops are chasing you the whole time. It looked really fucking good.
What's the name of this one? What was the name of that one?
Deliver at All Costs.
Oh, God, that sounds good.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh, I definitely am going to have to look into this. Then there was one I thought Bree was going to really like. It's called Lily's World X, I think is what it was called. It's one of those live-action horror-style games that Bree tends to enjoy. It looks like you're looking into some people's death, like, by going through their computer or some shit. I don't really know. I kind of spaced out a little bit because it was live action, and we know me, I don't like live action games. There was Lou's Lagoon, which is a slice of life sim, and when I refer to that, I mean something like Animal Crossing, stuff like that. It looked really cute. You basically have a little island and you're doing a biplane that has pontoons on it, and just building up your own little slice of heaven, I guess. And then there was LAPD 2195, which reminded me a whole lot of Deus Ex, the newer ones, except for with like PlayStation 2 style graphics. It looked kind of cool. There was Lost Skies, which is a game where you're building an aircraft and you're fighting other ships and I think monstrosities of some sort up in the air, and you can even jump off the ship and go deal with stuff and get resources to fix up the aircraft, and you have grappling hooks and shit. It looked really cool. And then
Did you know the release date on Deliver at All Costs?
No. I'm pretty sure lots of these were... Yeah. A lot of these were... They were coming out real soon.
Sweet.
What was the FMV called again? Lily something?
Lily's World X, I think, or something like that. But it was definitely Lily's World, and then I had some extra tiny bit after it.
XD. Got it. Thank you.
Yep. And then there was another game that I'm pretty sure you, Joe, you and Lloyd will both like. Golf Gambit. It's just a little weird golf game. It's one of those ones where it's like, oh yeah, and here's a tornado on the map, because fuck you, that's why. So I was like, Joe and Lloyd would both love this game. So I kept a little note on that. Then there was Hear Tell of Hauntings, which is one I'm going to be really interested in. You play as a sheriff lady in the Wild West killing monsters, and my major note was for this was, yes, please, mommy. So, it looked... What can I say? I have a type. Then they're making a new Chroma Gun game, which is really awesome. Cool. I wanted to review the original of this, but Cole ended up getting it. It's called Chroma Gun Die Hard. It's kind of like Portal, except for instead of portals, you're shooting out globs of paint, basically. Then there was a game, again, that I think you will like.
Too, didn't we?
The devs of it, yes, we've interviewed them. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Then there was another game that I think you might like, Joe, called Unbeatable. The very opening of it was, music is illegal and you do crimes. It's a fairly simple but difficult rhythm game, apparently. It only requires two buttons, kind of like those stick figure fighting games that only use two buttons. You play as a young woman, and you're just kicking the shit out of people, and it looks really good. I think I might pick this up even, and I don't even like rhythm games at all, and I might pick this up because it looks so good. There was Legends of Babu, which is an action game. It kind of reminded me of a mix of Guardian from like the PS3 or 4 era, whatever the fuck that was on, mixed with Kenya Bridge of Spirits. It looked really interesting. Basically, a kid is riding a dog and they're doing magic and shit. It looked cool. They brought up
magic and shit.
Yeah, man, it's magic and shit. It's great. And then they brought up Monster Con, which is another new Monster Prom game. We've heard about that elsewhere before. It looks good. You know, another like 5,000-hour fucking game. Go have fun, folks. Then there was Linked, another life slice of life styled sim, where you have a robot arm and you're using it to grab robots and beat up bosses and then do things like fishing and gathering resources. Visually, it really reminded me of that Xbox rhythm game that came out that was highly praised that I cannot remember the fucking name of, but Xbox fired all the devs after talking about how amazing they were.
Hi-Fi
Rush.
The name of that game?
Rush.
Yes, that one. Visually, it reminds me a lot of that game. So I think that might be something worth keeping your eyes on. There was Trench Tales, Your Last Fight, which super awesome looking. Basically, it's a Call of Duty zombie Nazi game mode, except for it's the full game and all the buildings are destructible and you get to customize your gun. It looked really awesome. It's like, take that mode and then add like a Helldiver guy as your character that isn't as sci-fi, but instead making like World War II version of it. It looks so cool. There was Lin's Island. Seems to be a four-player co-op focused style city builder where you go into dungeons and you beat the shit out of monsters and gather resources to build up your own little society outside of the dungeon. There was the Knightling, and it's basically like Shovel Knight, except for it's Shield Knight. You use the shield to fly through the air, to sled. You use it to block during combat, as well as like a boomerang all of Captain America style, and even to grab it, jump up, and smash people in the throat with it. It looked really cool. It's just a basic action-adventure game. It looks really nice. Then there was Star Sand Island, which is an anime-style life sim. Again, another one like Animal Crossing, one that actually interests me. That's what you need to do. Give me cute anime style, and I'll play it. There we go. then the last three that I have to mention. One of them's really weird. It's called Nice Day for Fishing. It's an RPG where you fish. You fight enemies by fishing and stuff. My brain could barely comprehend anything I was watching when I was looking at this, because it was just like, what? This doesn't make sense. And that kind of interests me, and I think you might like it, Joe. You should go look it up. Then there was Spine, This is Gunfu. And it's a gunfu game. For those of you who don't know what that is, kung fu, but with guns. Think John Wick. It looks really cool. Basically, this girl has a spine implant that improves her reflexes, i.e. she can slow time, and she's just fucking everything up. You know, she can use the environment to jump up, grab like a TV off of the wall and smash into a person's head. She grab a person, slam them into a cinder block, and then blow their brains out. It looks so good. And then the last one, which is just a little blip, there is a new development studio. I don't remember its name because it just wasn't very important. I was more important. The first game that they're creating is called Covenant, and it seems to be maybe a first-person Dark Souls-style game, but all of the devs that make up this new group is from, like, their ex-Halo, ex-Destiny, ex-Call of Duty, ex-Doom. Devs from, like, all these big-name franchises who, you know, left the company that made them and created their own one, and this is their first game, and it looks kind of interesting. Sadly, we didn't get a whole lot of it. It was a world premiere, but they didn't show a whole bunch, sadly. It did have a lot of combat, but it kept switching occasionally between third-person and first-person. It seemed like the focus really was first-person Souls-style combat. So that looks like that could be really interesting. And that was all of the stuff that I was like, I really need to tell people about this stuff.
Cool.
And now my throat hurts.
Any other thoughts on the Galaxy Gaming? Bree, did you catch any of it? I didn't get
I
to,
did not.
Jacob. I don't think you did either, did you?
I forgot that it was a thing.
Sorry, I had my mic off. Nah, I was working. I don't even know what day this thing happened on.
Today.
Oh, well, I was at work, so.
It happened like 8 or 9 hours ago, something like that, I think.
Oh.
It was pretty good. They didn't do, it was a no-nonsense style one. They were like, occasionally they would flip back to Jane, who was hosting it. She would basically give you a slight rundown of what the game is that you just watched, what company it came from, and then they'd immediately kick you into the next one, and they didn't even go back to her in between every game. Sometimes it'd be like 4 or 5 trailers, and then they'd go to her, and she'd just give you a small, like, 1 minute-ish long bit of conversation about it, and then she'd kick it right back to the next set of trailers. That's exactly what I want in these, because that's really what I'm there for. I want to see the game.
If they showed 50 games, they had to be no nonsense about it, because you've got the attention span of people to deal with too. Like, you know, having a 2-hour show is like more than most people can handle. So,
yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't as long as it seemed, because they started off with an hour long timer counting down. So it was a lot shorter than it looked. It was like an hour and a half, something like that. It was a real quick, you know, bam, bam, bam style show, and I really appreciated that.
Nice. Well, Nintendo had a show as well today. They had a 15-minute long Mario Kart Direct. Where they just went into some of the tracks, some of the courses, how the game's gonna work. They finally caught my attention with this one. It's open world.
Yes.
The whole freaking island. You could drive anywhere, go anywhere. The tracks are built into the maps, but you'll just drive to the next race. I didn't realize it was completely open world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they announced that from the get-go.
I didn't pay attention to it. I just said that. I didn't realize it was fully open world, like, to this extent. Like, I thought, like, it would be kind of like, I don't know, those. What was the kids one that you would drive from like blip to blip and it would just be like a connected path?
Matchbox driving adventures.
I thought it would be more akin to that. I didn't really realize until I watched this exactly what was going on, and it has my attention now. So
that'll be the day that Nintendo rips off of my Matchbox driving adventures.
It's like Mario Kart Horizon.
Yeah.
All I know is hearing about this, all I'm thinking is, oh, they've actually done something new with it, because everything I've known is you go around a track, you pick up the little upgrades, and you use them, and it's been basically the same since forever. They've upgraded the visuals.
Hold up. I mean, are we saying, this is, a whole new paradigm with kart racing games, or just,
with multiplayer kart racing games?
Okay. Right. I just wanted clarification on that, because I was just like, wow, we're all forgetting SSX3 existed.
You're correct. I've never played that. So
it's so good. It's the best in the series.
Fair. But so Mario Kart Direct,
you could be a cow.
Yes. I'm so excited for the cow. And I know my kids are gonna get into fist fights over who gets to play as the cow.
What it do-
When was the cow- there
a cow you could be a cow.
What? Yeah, it's in the trailer, but one of the cows from Moo Moo Farms is now a racer.
Yeah.
And the internet's just like, oh hell yeah. And
there's dozens of racers in this game.
Nice.
There's so many characters you could pick from. And they're all not all of them, but there's some ridiculous. You could be the friggin' cactus.
Okay, then. Weird.
Like the four balls that stack up to be a cactus that moves around. Be that thing. So.
Interesting.
A lot of rumors this week. It looks like the Oblivion remake is probably real and happening. Because, screenshots leaked and store pages leaked. And why didn't they just fucking release it already if all this info's leaking? Come on, Microsoft. Just drop it.
Yeah,
that would be too easy.
Anyone see anything on the remake?
Probably the same stuff you saw. I just saw some screenshots of some stuff.
Yeah, I think I saw two screenshots and an article that was basically saying what you just said, and that was it.
I've always seen memes, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
It appears it's going to have all of the original DLC included in with it.
Nice.
Even the horse armor. And there's going to be a deluxe edition, which itself has new horse armor.
They're memeing. They have to be.
Yeah, there's no other way to go about it.
Yeah, I really thought it would be announced in the Game Pass editions, but it wasn't. But a lot was. This was a good drop.
Thank God.
We've been bitching for months. As of late. We have been straight up bitching for months about how lackluster the Game Pass drops have been, and they made up for it with this one. The 15th, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Nifty.
The 16th, SpongeBob SquarePants, the Patrick Star game.
Nice.
Not bad. I've heard good things.
The 17th, 3 days in a row, Crime Scene Cleaner and Tempopo.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yep. Next week on the 24th, Lair Obscur Expedition 33.
Yes, I can't wait.
On the 29th, Towerborn hits game preview.
Nice.
Nifty.
On the 30th, Far Cry 4.
Hmm.
Huh. Okay, then.
May 1st, Anno 1800.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Damn. Okay.
May 6th, Dredge.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah.
That's a crazy 2 weeks.
Yes, it is. That's actually pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, they brought it. They absolutely brought it. I am excited for so many games on that list.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Tempopo, Clair Obscur, and Towerborn. I need to play them.
I'm still looking at Crime Scene Cleaner. That looks like my kind of thing.
Yeah, good lineup. But we got to have some games leaving. Unfortunately, there's some heavy hitters leaving as well on April 30th. Have a Nice Death is leaving. Kona 2 Broom. Sniper Elite 5. The Last Case of Benedict Fox. Thirsty Suitors. And The Rewinder.
Mm. Some good stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to be playing Thirsty Suitors then. All right. Okay, that's good information to have.
Yeah. But overall, 100% that. Really good second half of the month for Game Pass.
Yeah.
And the very likely addition of Oblivion Remake.
That is possible too.
Which I think everyone's saying the 21st now, they think. I don't know. That's my news. Aki, any other news on your end?
God, no.
Bree, what you got?
As part of Xbox Play Anywhere, Sea of Thieves is coming to Battle.net at the end of May, just in time for Season 16.
Hmm.
Dune Awakening has been delayed to June 10th from May 20th, so they could address feedback from the closed beta.
Hold up. I got a question.
Like, what is Battle.net like at this point anyway? I only ever used it to play StarCraft Brood War back in the day. What's it become at this point that game is coming to Battle.net? That seems kind of wild.
Some people like to use Battle.net. I don't know.
It's just a launcher. They have Warcraft on there, Diablo, Overwatch, Call of Duty's all on there, Sea of Thieves, Avowed, Tony Hawk is going to be on there, The Outer Worlds 2 is going to be on there, Crash Bandicoot 4 is on there, Doom the Dark Ages will be on there. So
some people's preferred launcher, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
And my last bit of news is the spring sale is up on Xbox, and I don't have enough money to take advantage of the great deals.
I know, right? Jesus.
Earn those Bing rewards points as quick as you can.
And there's so
many sale. Anybody see anything good in sales?
I'm avoiding them at all costs because I know if I see them, I'm going to want to buy things, and I've spent entirely too much this month already.
Well, last year's GOTY is in there.
Lord of the Rings Gollum, the precious edition, is only like $6.50 or $6.99 or something like that.
Call it a GOTY.
A GOTY.
GOTY.
A GOTY.
Yeah. A very weird way of saying Game of the Year.
Yeah, GOTY. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that Golem game I still think is about $50 too expensive.
You're the only one I know who calls him Golem.
Yeah.
Gollum.
Yeah.
Golem. No, I'm going to call him Golem forever. I don't care.
No, Joe, I know you fucking know. Goddamn.
Do you think I don't know?
Potentially.
I have read all of the books, and I have most of the movies. You know how to pronounce it. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Make it news.
That was all my news, yeah.
Really, Bree? You don't have any other news to report?
Nope.
Huh. Okay.
Apparently means there's Dreamlight Valley news that was expected to be taken from you, I assume.
Yes.
Can't just get to it, can ya? I'm in pain. No. Can't just fucking get to
it. Wait, what?
Nothing.
And now you've made him take longer.
I'm confused.
I'm trying to do the episode quick because I'm in a lot of pain.
And so because
stop doing this.
Oh my god, I just want to all right, whatever. You guys have now made this last longer. Anyways,
yes.
Spring update. It's coming next week. It's Alice in Wonderland theme. You have to go to a realm. You get to meet Alice, and eventually you get to meet the Cheshire Cat. Both of them will eventually come to your neighborhood. But what's really cool, and this is I got two things I'm really looking forward to with this. Shut up. the thing I'm really looking forward to is a decrafting table. So you can take stuff that you've crafted, and for a small fee of Dreamlight, you can actually get all the items that went back into it. So that is a huge boon for all of us who had to blow all those resources during the last Star Path just trying to build two swimming pools. That sucked. That actually wiped out my reserve of stone and I think sticks or sand. I forget what. It wiped me out. So this is a big help for that. The other thing, Star Wars is finally coming to Disney Dreamlight Valley. Now, it's
will
not...
there be Ewoks?
See, I'm wondering if we're going to be getting that down the way. So, so what was teased is we are getting buildings, so you can make it look like Naboo. I guess you can make your house look like Naboo. Jedi robes, and there is a lightsaber accessory that you can hold in photos and stuff. And also R2-D2 is going to be available as a companion, and he will follow you around the valley. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to test the waters with other critters, like a little mini Wampa or Rancor or something like that.
Oh my god, Rancor sounds so cute.
I'm cautiously optimistic about this, because if it's this level of stuff, then I'm okay. I don't want like Darth Vader and Han Solo like running around my friggin' valley. Like R2-D2 still has like a level of whimsy about him. You know what I mean? That I think just introducing the other characters like might ruin. And so I really hope that like with myself and like all the other fans who are buying this from the get-go, that they don't get the wrong message. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. When you said you don't want Darth Vader and Han Solo running around your valley, I got in the of the image in my head was them prancing with like a little flower trail coming off of them.
Exactly what I saw. Now I want that to happen.
Yeah, now I kind of want that to happen too.
Damn it.
I don't, but I do.
I was kind of hoping that maybe you could get like a coffee table in it that's Han Solo Frozen.
I wouldn't
be surprised if we get that. That would be
so cool. Like, that's how, if he's going to show up, that's kind of how I want him to show up, as like a decoration or a table or something frozen in carbonite bath. That would have been, that'd be so awesome.
A refrigerator door.
That's all I got. So, you know, cool. We can press on so Joe can finally.
Those Xbox sales. Horse Club Adventures is on sale.
Oh, snap. All right. Both of them. A pick. Both of them.
Yep.
Oh.
Is this something actually to be excited for? I'm confused.
No.
No.
Okay.
Horse Club Adventures.
Okay, because he sounded actually legitimately kind of happy about it.
I was like, what the fuck is this? Turn gifting off.
Oh, this is taking forever to load.
So I know, mad. The wish list is acting up tonight. I think it's
no, it's the store. Oh wait, why am I on the Australian store? That's so weird.
What the fuck are you on the Australian store?
I don't know. I don't fucking know, man.
When does Jacob know anything? Come on now, be nice.
It keeps reloading as the Australian store. What the hell?
Crazy. All right, let's get to reviews. We got a bunch of games to talk about tonight. First up is Big Buck Hunter Ultimate Trophy, developed by Cradle Games and Play Mechanics, published by Game Mill Entertainment. Released April 11th on Xbox Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Embark on 27 epic treks with 135 intense hunting sites, chasing animals ranging from white-tailed deer and caribou to woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers. With 27 adrenaline-pumping bonus games, expanded weapon choices like the crossbow, all new multiplayer mode, and reimagined trophy room, Big Buck Hunter Ultimate Trophy sets a new standard for arcade hunting adventures. Whether you're a seasoned sharpshooter or a fresh newcomer, the hunt is on. Are you ready? Jacob, are you ready?
Not as ready as I thought I was going
to
be.
Okay, never mind.
Anyway.
Generation X.
Yeah, I wasn't watching WWF back then. Anyway.
What is Big Buck Hunter Ultimate Trophy?
Side note, it really bothers me that my computer will not stop loading the Australian version of the Xbox page. anyway, all right. So, Big Buck Hunter, if you're not familiar with it, this is a target practice game that you will frequently see at, like, I see it at, like, a lot of rest stops, movie theaters, you know, that kind of stuff. And what it is that it's a light gun game that features a shotgun, and you are hunting
animals.
Well, I was going with big bucks.
Oh,
big like bucks. It's in the name. It's in the name, man. Jesus. There's all right.
Saber-tooth tigers in this. What am I supposed to think anymore?
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. So anyway, so you're going to be hunting deer, and the game features a scantily clad woman in quote unquote redneck gear. Who like cheers you on during all the like end of like the round kind of stuff. But she lays out all the different rules that you have. You can only hunt bucks. You cannot shoot does. If you shoot a doe, that means that like your round is immediately over. What are the other rules that they have? There's a couple of other rules, but anyway, yeah, and then you get plopped in one of five rounds per game, I should say, and it's all of the different areas of the forest, and you are kept in a single location, right, and there's like a herd of deer right in front of you, and you have to be able to pretty much just pick your targets and be a good enough shot, and if you're not a good enough shot, then at least be quick enough on the reload to get that done, and... I sucked real hard at the start, because unlike when you're playing it, like at the arcade, this is not played with a light gun. This is played with it's played with your video game controller. And so you have to move, one of your sticks. You can choose which one, that you have to move, use the triggers or, the A and the bumpers. You can decide like what's going to be your reload, what's going to be your focus aim, stuff like that. And you just have to, I don't want to say that it's like handling real guns, but like your accuracy and your timing will improve the more you practice with it. And so I'm not going to lie, you're going to eat a ton of shit at the beginning of this game. I think I only shot one buck in five rounds my first time through. Like, it was horrendous, but eventually like you will get your rhythm, especially as you learn to use the focus system, and that I had some issues with, because it was never really clear how long some levels it felt like the focus system lasted really short, but others like I could drag it around for almost the entire round and I'd be cool. So I'm not exactly sure how that works, and that was a little frustrating, but yeah, I was having a lot of fun with this. And then as you're going through these different zones, some of these zones will have a dangerous animal that will come at the very end. And so like usually it's like a wolf or a mountain lion or a bear, something like that, and you have to be real quick with your shot. Most of the time I was killed by that thing. I only successfully shot a wolf once.
Nice.
But yeah, and then as you also during all these rounds, you can hunt the other critters that are around as well. Like, you can shoot skunks, you can shoot squirrel, rabbit, possum, raccoons. I shot a few of those. Oh, and foxes. Yeah. Yeah. And if you shoot those, you get bonus points. And to break up the different rounds, sometimes there's little mini games. Sometimes like you go on, they did duck hunt complete with dog, in this, and you had to, shoot, as many of the ducks as you could. I think it was like 40 of them. Nice. And the dog is hopping around like the whole entire time. Like, that was pretty fun. But then there's other ones where you have to like shoot basketballs, and like if you shoot them correctly, like they'll go into the hoop. That was pretty fun to watch. Shooting salmon as they're trying to swim up river. But yeah, like there's a bunch of them. And this was surprisingly a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. I these kind of like on rails, I mean, although this isn't really so much on rails, but you know what I mean? Like the light gun games that they now release on Xbox, and we don't have like any kind of gun peripheral to go along with it.
Yeah.
Like these kind of games, they can either be a lot of fun, like the House of the Dead remake that we got, or they could be an absolute slog. And I honestly was thinking that this was like, this was going to suck. And at first, like, I was like, oh, what the hell? I can't get any of the bucks. Yeah. Well, once I like finally got my own rhythm, you know, I was good at it. It wasn't the game's fault.
So you literally got good, Scrub.
I did. And thank you. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. Like unexpectedly, I was really surprised with it.
Pretty cool.
It's well done.
We got to talk about one other thing because there is a DLC pack for it, the Ultimate Trophy Mythic Hunting Pack. You could either buy it separately for $14.99, or it comes included in the Ultimate Edition of the game, or the Deluxe Edition of the game, which is $10 more. So you save $5 getting that. That includes Buckzilla and the Zombie Deer. Did you mess with those at all?
Zombie Deer, I got to. That is... that was more bizarre and scarier than I thought it was going to be. Not like pants shittingly, but like you're like, old school, like House of Dead, like, what the hell? But yeah. That was weird. How much does that stuff cost?
Literally went through the spiel.
I know, but
the DLC pack is $15. The game is $40. The deluxe edition is $50. So you save $5 getting the deluxe edition. What's your verdict on Big Buck Hunter Ultimate Trophy?
Honestly, I'd say get the deluxe edition. I think this game is a lot of fun. Especially once you get the hang of it, it's a really good, port of a light gun game that I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it is. So
very cool. Some other things in the deluxe edition, a nightbear, a raptodon, and a weir chimp. Yeah. Next up, Monaco 2, developed by Pocket Watch Games, published by Humble Games, released April 10th on Xbox, Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Get your crew back together for the ultimate heist experience. Return to Monaco. Plan your operation and skedaddle when things inevitably go awry in this co-op heist game. The city is yours for the taking. Aki, you and our friend Horror Acolyte covered this one. He wrote in some notes. You're going to review it. Start talking. Do it.
I am talking. There we go. We have talked. Can I be done now?
No, keep going.
Okay. So I got this because Monaco 1, I think, was free with Games with Gold forever ago, and I beat it. And I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy, simple 100%. It may take a little bit of effort, but it ain't going to be much. I am so fucked. This game's never being beaten. In this, you play as a bunch of thieving bastards, basically. Just like in the first one, except for now you're a new team. And you have stolen something that obviously doesn't belong to you, hence it's stolen. But stolen from somebody you really ought not have fucked with. Now you're under this kingpin's thumb, and you're now doing a job for him, which requires you to do a whole bunch of other jobs to get prepared for. So, fun. You start off as four different people. You get to choose which one you play the level with. You get a techie guy who has a drone, a really quick girl, a woman with a dog, and an old fart who can heal people. This is meant to be played in co-op, with up to four people. It really wants you to play with four because the levels get very long, very big, and very painful very quickly. There are 16 levels. I've gotten, around halfway through them because, again, they are big and they are painful. each one of these characters has their own little abilities. They also have little trinkets that they can use to augment their abilities. You have to buy each one of them. Every character has four. They also have an alternate costume that you can buy. And you start off with these four. Later on, you do get access to some other characters as well. However, you only have access to certain characters for certain levels. So whenever one of those characters appears, it's at the cost of you not being able to use one of the original four. And even after you beat that level, you can't suddenly just choose whatever character you want, sadly. It's still only locked to whatever four that you had access to. There is a whole lot of different ways to beat each level that you have to get for achievements and the like. There's a smash and grab, which is just going in, getting the objective, and getting out as fast as possible, which is a big pain in the ass, because they are tight. So very tight with your timing on this one. There's a clean getaway, which requires you to clear out all of the coins. You find them dotted throughout the map. Every level has a certain amount of them. And then there's also they call it the time modes, even though the smash and grab is based on time. This other one is in a different way. It's a score, basically, that you get. And it's split between how many coins do you get and how quickly do you do it, how many times do you get the shit beat out of you, etc., etc. And that one's one of the harder ones, because one of them, you have gold time that you have to get on all of them. And then there is a greedy time that you have to get on, I think, 10, which is obscene, and I don't think I've gotten it but for one level, and that's probably the only level I'll ever get it on, because it is so hard to do. So basically what you're doing is you're playing one of these characters, you're going through the level, you're picking up all the coins you can. Every level has a certain amount. I randomized how many they have. And you're trying to get to an item to either grab it and steal it, or to activate it, to hack into it, what have you. Just depends on what the level requires. If you get at least a silver time on that or better, then you unlock another game mode, which is the unreliable narrative version of that level. And the standard level is, anytime you play it, it's always going to be the same. And it's specifically so you can get all of the other achievements that I mentioned, all those different time modes, all that fun stuff. You can learn the map. Everything's in the exact same location every time. That's called the true mission mode. It's the truth of what happened. The unreliable narrative gives you diamonds, which are used to upgrade your character, getting them different trinkets and things like that to augment their abilities. And that mode is all procedurally generated with the stuff that's in that mission, so it just gets jumbled up, basically. And it can be easier or harder because it's randomized. In this, you get diamonds, and diamonds are, as I said, used to get trinkets. There's four trinkets for each character. You have to buy them in order, and then after you've bought all of them, you can also buy a brand new costume for the character. The trinkets augment the character's natural ability. For instance, the tech guy. What he does is, anytime he's hacking something or picking a lock, he can summon a drone to do it instead of himself. And his trinkets are like the level one trinket. It automatically summons the drone, and the two of them work together on lock picking or hacking or whatever to get it done 15% faster. The second level of it instead says, okay, well, now you can send your drone away instead of having to summon the drone right on top of something. You can now send it up to like 25 meters away or some shit. Third one, I don't remember. The fourth one is you get three drones and you can set them up, but they have to be done, you know, on top of something, because you're not getting like all the benefits of all the prior trinkets. It's just the benefit of that singular trinket. Trinkets do come at a cost, other than just obviously buying them with the diamonds. They also come at a cost of your character's max hit points. that they have available. Most of them are between like 2 and 4. I think the highest I've seen is, I think there was one that had 5. Almost all of them are 3 health chunks off of your life. And every character has a different amount of health for them. Usually it makes a lot of sense. Like Uma, a big bruiser character, has a ton of hit points. And, you know, the nerd does not. Big shocker, right? So, yeah. You go through all these missions. As I said, there's 16 of them. You have things like when you first drop in and you pick your character and what trinket you want to use, which costume you want to use, you can then get a quick overview map where you can flip between the different floors and you can see the outline of what's there. It doesn't give you any specifics. You end up having to just look at it and figure out what things are. Like, you can see the outline of coins around on each floor, so you can figure out how you're going to get them real quick if you really feel the need to do that. I found it was easier to ignore that. It also shows you basically what items that you can find throughout the level and where they are. Because, you know, sometimes you'll have like, you're getting injured, so you need a health pack. There might be a few of them on the level, and the coins that you're picking up throughout the level only appear in that level, and then they're gone for when you replay it or when you go to the next level. They're only important for that. And the reason why is when you find these items, you're basically unlocking the ability to grab them from that area. So if you find a health pack here, you can spend 5, 10, whatever, coins, and it unlocks it. And now, anytime it recharges its inventory, basically, which is very slow, you can grab a free health kit from there, from that point forward. So you always have that available to you during the rest of the run of this level. Once you replay the level, obviously, you have to rebuy it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
How was the online?
How did that work out for you? Because you played with Horror, right?
Yes, I did. We played a lot together. It is finicky. Sometimes it would work really well. Other times it would suddenly just drop out of nowhere and say, oh, yeah, connection network error, and would kick me out of the game occasionally. It mostly did it to me. I think it did it to him once, but it did it to me like a dozen or so times, which was really irritating. But overall, it
tonight, Jesus,
give him a bath.
No, not
overall. It was generally pretty good, though. Oh well, clean the litter box, then, you nasty foo.
Yeah, because I could do that during my show.
You could. I mean, we talk a lot.
Any comments from Horror? Anything from Horror's write-up that you wanted to include?
I actually, this entire thing was a mixture of what I read from his and myself. I just combined them together.
Like a Transformer.
Yeah.
No, like Voltron. Sure. Binding.
Yeah. Battle. Yeah, sure. We can go with that. For all the achievements, you will probably need 4 people, and they will probably need to know exactly what the fuck they're doing. Because the greedy time, I don't even... Like, it is so hard, I just don't even. It is that, and the smash and grabs are so, so pinpoint. Like, you have to know exactly what you're doing, and you have to do it perfectly. I don't understand how you're supposed to do that with any less than 4 people for greedy time, and maybe solo for smash and grab.
Oh, Jesus. The game clocks in at $24.99. What are your thoughts on Monaco 2?
If you're an achievement hunter, you might want to pass this one. Everyone else, I think it's a pretty good, fun, little solid game. So I'm totally for it.
Cool. Any other comments?
Jesus Christ, it's so hard and I'm never going to 100% it, and it makes me sad.
Next game, Hot Rod Mayhem, developed and published by Casual Brothers, released April 15th. Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Start your engine, gearheads. It's time for Hot Rod Mayhem. Prove yourself as the ultimate little racer by putting your speed and swerving skills to the test in wild races and one-of-a-kind trials. Use perilous pickups like the tricky marble or the homing dart to leave your opponents in the dust. Jacob, tell us about your time with Hot Rod Mayhem.
So Hot Rod Mayhem,
you know, it may look like it, you know, it's got like a cheap plastic body on it. You know, it looks like a mobile game, but underneath the hood is actually a pretty, like, pretty damn competent cart game that has pretty imaginative levels. Yeah, I mean, it's a standard cart game, okay? And there is like a little character creator. None of them really seem, I don't think any of them have any actual effect on how you drive or anything like that. I think it's all cosmetic, which I know for some people that could be important. But then you get to choose all these different cars, which are all different hot rods. Surprise. And you can change, like, you know, color and all that kind of stuff. And the models, they're fine. And then you get to the levels. And this is where I was really surprised. Because I'm not going to lie, I was really expecting a generic, no-effort kart game. Like, I've had to play so many of them on this podcast.
Yeah.
And the levels... yeah, right? And the levels, like, it caught me off... Like, I was just blown away by it. I am running around... Like, not running. I'm driving around on a playground in a park. I'm, like, crashing through gates. I'm going, through playgrounds, like, up and under playgrounds. It's not just like, oh, you're riding on the slide. Like, no, like, you're going underneath stuff. Kids' hands are diving, like, from, like, the net, like, because they're trying to pick up balls or whatever. And, like, so you have to dodge these kids' hands from grabbing you and stuff. And on top of it, like, because it's a park, people are, like, running around, like, they're walking to, like, get food. You end up on a carousel, like, like, holy crap, there is just so much to this. And, like, there's another one where it's, like, you're out in the middle of recess, and you have to go through a skate park, and, like, you can actually do tricks with your little car as, I mean, you should be racing, but... You can actually do, like, tricks, and, like, you can even grind on, like, little skateboard, like, a skateboard. You know, it's just, you can tell that, like, the devs, like, whoever was designing these levels really had a lot of fun with it. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, I wish Hot Wheels Unleashed had. Like, it showed some of that kind of brilliance, but, like, this is some good shit in terms of inventiveness with the levels.
Would it shock you if I said it's the same devs as Matchbox Driving Adventures?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. This is
Grinch Christmas Adventures, Gigantosaurus the Game, Ice Age Scrats Nutty Adventure. Like, they've done a lot of outright games.
Yeah, I was like. Yeah, once you started naming a couple of them, I was like, oh, yeah, that's like half their catalog. All right. That's really awesome that they made, like, because, I mean, like, remember how we talked about Matchbox at Driving Adventures? Like, we knew underneath the hood, like, it was good. It just needed more oomph. And, like, yeah.
And this is the
honestly, oomph. Yeah, this is the oomph. Like, holy crow. Like, it's just... The levels are just so well done. And then you get to the weapons, which are fine. Like, it's standard kart racing stuff. You have your blue shell, which is the red rocket.
Fuck that rocket.
Like, there's a marble. There's a top. Shoot, I'm leaving something out.
The shield.
Oh, yeah, the standard shield. Yeah. Duh. But, like,
I wish there were more, you know, items. The item selection is fairly lackluster.
Yeah, I really wish that there was more to the weapons, because that's one area. Like, even if it was just like all the same stuff that, like, we're familiar with, they could have tossed some of that kind of stuff in. Yeah. But yeah, like, controls are easy. I wish it took more time to explain, like, what the controls are, but. You've played a kart game on the Xbox. You've more or less played them all. And yeah. So it's pretty easy to pick up. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, and I think even like hardcore kart racing fans will find something to like in this.
There are a good number of tracks in this too.
Yeah, there were. Like, there's a lot to unlock.
What do you think?
Absolutely. Heck yeah. Like, so far, I'm pleased with the games I'm reviewing tonight. This is like 2 for 2.
Cool. Next up, Pylo and the Hollow Book, developed by Mudita Games, published by Red Deer Games, released April 10th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $12.99. Join Pylo and Prof in a new space adventure. Use your Hollow Book and turn everything into stickers and create your own encyclopedia of a new world. Explore beautiful new planets and meet new friends in this adventure game. Aki, tell us about it.
Okay. And this, you
is it
play
Pylo or at, Pylo? I don't know.
I have no idea. They don't. I don't remember the name actually being said. But you play as this little box red panda thing. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to be. In a world full of humans. So I really don't know what the fuck you're supposed to be. And you and your scientist dad thing decide you're gonna go up into space. Brand new adventures await. And he's created this Hollow Book, which basically turns information into stickers so that he can take this thing back and show the scientific community of their local area that they're geniuses and that they're amazing. And basically, it's a dick measuring contest, you know, typical guy fare.
Rated E.
And, yeah. And, so he sends you, the child, off to go gather this stuff while he, sits on his wrinkly old ass, I guess. I don't know what he's supposed to be doing this whole time, but he doesn't do anything. And, yeah, you get to explore, both your little home area, not your home world or even your city, just like the immediate surroundings place around your home. And then you also get to visit 4 other planets, only a fragment of them, obviously, because this isn't a super huge game. And basically what you're doing is you're going around scanning all of the plants and animals to get little stickers out of it, as well as any machinery, old pottery, whatever. You're just cataloging fucking everything so that you have a good record of everything. And that includes taking pictures of people with this, which everyone's like, hey, you don't do that, even though you're supposed to do that. So, yeah. Throughout this, you find that there has been life on all of these different places. And something fucky happened, because now there's some black tar-like substance that's very poisonous and gives off terrible fumes that are around, and you can't get past them. So you have to figure out what that shit is and how to get rid of it, even if just temporarily, so that you can continue your exploration. You do occasionally find some other living people who can communicate with you, but there are far and few between. There are plenty of little puzzles that are pretty simple to solve, like, oh, here's this thing, you can see the outline of a few shapes. Find the correct item, scan to put that shape in here. Woo! So hard. or, hey, follow a compass. And the difficulty in that is, where is the compass pointing? Walk in that direction. The end. I love
this
how
this isn't meant to be overly a difficult game.
Oh, this is the hardest game I've ever played. No, it's, I'm pretty sure it's probably made for kids, would be my guess, and I'm fully for it because I love how simple it is. It makes me feel smart.
Good looking game too. I love the visuals in it.
Oh yeah, it is so pretty. All the worlds are very visually different from each other. Like, there's this lush greenery area, which is from your own little home area. Then there's a giant fuck-off-sized desert. Then there's this, what looks like an old rotting forest that's filled to the brim with trees. And then you get like a super technologically advanced area, and then this little weird mystical-y place that's just looks like it's made out of fairies and gumdrops. And it's all very, very cool looking. And yeah, it's a game you can beat in a day or two, if that's all you do. This is like a probably a 10-15 hour game. Yeah, especially if you don't have to replay it again, which you're probably going to have to do, because there's two very missable achievements in this game that, as I found out, and am now going to be replaying the whole game to get. As I said, some of the characters say, "Hey, don't take pictures of me with this thing. You need to get them all." Legitimately, you have to get a picture of all of them, and one of them is very easy to miss, because they disappear permanently, and if you get close to them, they start a conversation and then immediately disappear after the conversation to the next area. And eventually, they just leave the game altogether, and it's like, I didn't even know you could take pictures of them. And then there's one that's just a speed-based thing that you have to do, and you can only do it the first time you show up, which is a shame. But yeah, most of the achievements are, you know, story-based. Hey, go do this. Solve these puzzles that are required to continue the game. Stuff like that. It's very simple, very straightforward. And it's a cute little game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Our little fox panda thingy is obsessed with chocolate chip cookies and naps. And it's pretty great.
Oh, well, this is $13. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. This is totally get it. Even if you're an adult, this is totally get it. This is an adorable, fun little game to play.
Nice. This one's going on my wish list.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You'll love it.
Sweet. All right, next up. Changing gears a little. Drug Dealer Simulator, developed by Byte Runners and Movie Games, published by Ultimate Games. Released April 16th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $24.99. Have you ever thought about expanding your own crime empire without the legal and moral consequences? Simulate it. Now you'll be able to finally be able to crawl back into the dark alleys of the drug dealing business. Start small, grow big. Thanks to the wonderful folks at Ultimate Games, we actually have some copies of this to give away. So should we do that before the review?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure.
All right, let's draw a winner. Congrats, Mr. Coolness, number 3.
Nice.
You're going to be drinking weed and smoking bombs. Beer. Jacob, tell us about Drug Dealer Simulator.
Well, sounds like you did too much LDS.
Maybe.
No? No? Okay. Nobody saw Star Trek 4? No?
No.
Yep. All right. Anyway, so Drug Dealer Simulator is... it's one of those kind of simulators that we apparently have everything for nowadays, and every vocation. And in this one, it's, I guess, kind of like GTA without the cool vehicles or fun weapons, all that kind of stuff. It's a first person game, and it is it's a lot of fetch quests. Broken up with some mini games here and there. And what it is you become a drug dealer, obviously, in this area of a city that is very poorly lit. You can't see anything in it. Not like kryptonite fog of Superman 64 kind of like level bad, but it's just, I never really got a good layout of the city because it just... I don't know. It all looked the same. Mm. And you're obviously in a bad neighborhood, possibly a war-torn country. Like, it's not entirely clear. But what ends up happening is that every night, I'm actually getting ahead of myself on this. So you're introduced to the guy who's going to be your handler into the cartel. And he gives the basic rundown of what you're going to do. And he's like, "Oh, you're smart. You'll figure it out." No, we won't figure all this out because the game doesn't explain some of what you end up having to do. And
how it works is that you have to go back to your place, order the drugs off of this like drug dealer, black market kind of like dark web. And that's where you also get your clients, and you have to go get the, like, you have to order the drugs, pick up the drugs, separate the drugs if you need to, because, like, you know, you might have like 5 grams of weed on you, but somebody only wants 3, and so you'll have to divvy it up that way.
God damn it.
And then on top of it, you will also have to deal with the police, which obviously, I mean, it seems like a no duh, but the game doesn't tell you that, oh, by the way, once darkness falls, it's police hours, and you've got 30 minutes to get your ass back home. Otherwise, the police are going to be patrolling and beat your ass as they pick you up. Because apparently you're under martial law. Who knew? So the first time through, I got my ass kicked because all of a sudden, like, I'm halfway across like the area where I was, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's police hours now, and I had to book it back to my house and I couldn't find it, and yeah, that didn't go well. So anywho, next time through the tutorial, once I got to a certain point, I realized, oh, this game works in real time. I need to get my ass back, you know, wait out the police hours, and then go back out into the city. But what you'll eventually start doing once you realize that the cops can't always be patrolling around is that a lot of the times during the day, you'll be taking orders, picking up stuff, doing graffiti eventually, because that's how you earn respect from other dealers and get them to give you more stuff to do or get you into new territories that you can work. You're going to be doing all that during the day, and then you're running drugs at night. And at the same time, you're also like trying to ensure the quality of your stuff, because if people start ODing, then that kind of looks bad on you, because then everybody thinks that you're selling bad drugs. And so you then kind of have to find this very fine balance of making money and ensuring that that money flow keeps coming, because you got everyone addicted, but not to the point where they're dead.
Fun.
Yeah. And the game does not hold your hand with directions. It's just like, oh yeah, well, all right, well, you're out of drugs now, go message your guy. Okay, how? Like, if I go on the laptop, it's not letting me type anything in. Like, what do I do? Send a carrier pigeon? Like, write a letter?
Yes.
Like,
the pigeon.
I ended up having to look up guides to figure out how to get some of this stuff done in the tutorial. Damn. And also, you're also not allowed to save in the tutorial. So, damn. Hope you are okay with sitting there for a couple hours just so you can get the ropes on everything. So yeah, there's some issues with the game. I mean, it's janky, which, I mean, what simulator game isn't to some degree? It's almost expected of the genre. And like, as I said, like, the visuals are not, like, they're not top notch. You know, it's hard to figure, like, it's hard to get your bearings on this city. And I frequently got lost trying to navigate it, despite going through it multiple times and going over the map. I think if it took more time to explain what you need to do and a guide of how, like, how everything will work, and better visuals, I think you could have like a pretty interesting game on your hands. That being said, how much is it?
Locks in at $24.99.
Like, it's not a bad game, but I'd put it out to try it for the time being. Like, it's got potential to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But there's still some work that needs to be done on it.
Yeah. Well, if people are on the fence, stay tuned because we do have another copy to give away later on in the show, thanks to Ultimate Games. We'll give that away probably when we're done and wrapping up and doing the music and blah, blah, blah. Next game, Layla, developed and published by Ubik Studios, released April 7th on Steam, April 17th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $12.99. Enter the world of an everyday woman as you explore her past in this point-and-click narrative game. Hand-drawn animations bring her memories to life, and thought-provoking puzzles lay bare the reasons behind her choices. Immerse yourself in a story unfolds as you decipher its intricate pieces. Bree, tell us about Layla.
This game is existential and charming when I could figure out what I was supposed to do. Layla's daughter bought her some VR-like game that takes her memories and projects some images to help her process things. And she's promised she tried it, she would try it, so here we are. The game creates puzzles that we have to do with Layla's memories. You have a cursor that's really small to move around. The first puzzle is like a hidden object game, but you aren't really told that straight out. And to make matters worse, you have limited tries to find all the things before you have to start over. The second puzzle gives you an obtuse clue about negative space, referring to both her mental state and the space between spaces in a painting. You have to find objects in the negative space and drag them to her laptop. Once there, you use objects that you find to use as writing prompts. And the puzzles tie in well with the storytelling. This is voice acted, and you can hear that Layla is a little jaded. Parts of this narrative is very much about the experience of being a woman, the negative self-talk that comes from like a constant barrage of being told who you were supposed to be. And she muses on aging and biological imperatives and not being one of those old people who gives up on technology, stuff like that. And we find out Layla's a writer, and she's trying to get a new book published, and she's struggling in one of the memories. This game not only explores Layla's memories, though, it also explores her hopes and dreams. I think there's a relatable narrative in this for almost anyone about the various stages of life. There's a fair amount of emotion to the story as well about lost love, feelings of isolation, the humdrum of adult life, and so on. The music was nice lo-fi stuff. The art was very pretty hand-drawn graphics. The writing was good. The gameplay overall is mostly point and click with a few different puzzle types. And the game is really chill. Like, there are no timers to solve puzzles. You can just play around with things until you get there. I found that the game stuttered a lot during transitions, though. Whether it was the start of a new song or collecting a piece of the puzzle and waiting for her to talk again, it would stutter. I found that to be really distracting. Yeah. There's no chapter select, and all the achievements are missable. But the game clocks in at around 3 hours, so you could easily replay with achievements in mind. And there's some annoying ones, like you have to click on things 120 times in the forest in chapter one, which is totally not something you would think to do, you know, when you're in the intro to the game and you're trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing in the first place. I found like there was a lot of just playing around, which felt good, but not understanding what I was supposed to be doing, and I felt very lost a lot of times. So, yeah. Price is good.
Yeah. It clocks in at $12.99. Do you think there's enough content for it? Is it long enough? Is it interesting enough?
Like I said, it's around a three-hour game. I found the narrative didn't flow as nicely when I was struggling to know what to do next. The cursor being so small didn't help, although the cursor did move fine. I would put this at a try it. I think this is the studio's first piece, and I'd like to see more from them, though. This was just kind of middle of the road for me.
Thought this one looked cute.
It did.
Should I put it on my wish list? Yay, nay. I'm taking your word here.
I might wait for a sale.
Sounds good. All right, next up, the Epics Collection, handheld, developed by Imagine Software, published by Pixel Games, released April 9th on Series X and S in the Windows Store for $14.49. Witness the return of seven awesome Epics classics from the 80s and 90s, originally designed for cutting-edge handheld gaming. Jacob, tell us about the Epics Collection, handheld.
So,
I was really intrigued by this because, you know, it's a retro game collection. I wasn't familiar with Epics. And also the fact that, like, it was called handheld, I was like, I don't know what things, like, what this would have been released on, like, these Lynx, graphics. Baby. Yeah, I know. I forgot that the Lynx, I forgot that it existed. So there are six different games. And what's cool, I mean, I don't know. I always kind of like geek out about these kind of things, but like they provide like the original box. Like you can like view it 360. You can look through the manual, all that kind of stuff. And some of the stuff, they also have like some docs that go with it. But yeah, there's six different games. Seven.
There's seven. Let's go through them. Blue Lightning.
All right, so Blue Lightning. Hold on. Blue Lightning is a flight sim. It's like Top Gun on steroids, and yeah, actually, like that's actually a pretty good comparison. It's like halfway between Top Gun for NES and Afterburner from Sega. It's like halfway between that. Really fun. I liked it.
Thumb up, thumb down.
Yeah, thumb up. Yeah,
cool. Thumb up. California Games.
California Games is like, it's a bunch of, unusual sports games. There's there's surfing, there's hacky sack in here. Yeah. there's some skateboarding,
BMX.
BMX, thank you. There's something else.
I played the hacky sack shit so much when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Oh, the actual hacky sack or in this game?
In this game.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting.
I was a kid and I thought it was the coolest. I love California Games in general. I thought it was a great game. ElectroCop, a unique side-scrolling 3D shooter.
Yeah, you have to go save the president's daughter and you have like an hour to do it. Can you do it?
In 2025, do you want to do it?
No.
Thumb up, thumb down.
Not really.
In the middle.
It's worth fiddling with at least once.
Gates of Zendocon.
I'm blanking on this.
Survive the hostile alien inhabitants. 51 deadly universes in the side-scrolling shooter.
Yes. It's a standard shmup. Like, it was all right.
Thumb up, thumb down.
Middle. It gets middle of the road.
Todd's Adventure in Slime World.
That is a...
Kinky.
SML After Dark.
This is like kind of like roguelike elements where you can keep repeating levels, but every single time you do, you lose all your stuff. And you have to navigate this, like he's supposed to be like a space explorer, through all these different areas. And at times, like, you know, you can upgrade your weapon. You can like refill your health. But you just have to get through all these different rooms, which are kind of like puzzles. And what's interesting is that there's a mix of action, but also like not so much stealth, but dodging. Mm-hmm. There's certain aliens that if you shoot them, like, or if you get close to them, like they'll just blow up and they'll kill you too, even if you're shielded. And so it's actually there are some levels where you're actually better off avoiding everybody instead of going in there guns blazing. A little disappointing, but it had some interesting concepts.
Thumb up, thumb down.
I'm gonna go middle of the road on that one again.
Zarlore Mercenary, top down vertical shooter.
I wanted to like this one. I really did. There's all these different pilots that you can choose from, and each one of them has special weapons or like power ups, that kind of stuff. And you, it's a top down shooter, and you're going across these levels that the art style is done to make it look like it's kind of 3D, like from a top down perspective. But the problem is that like it doesn't do it well. And so the game runs slow as hell while you're doing it. And it just, like, I can appreciate the style of what you're doing, but I didn't think it was particularly well done.
Yeah, thumb down on that one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Chip's Challenge.
Chip's Challenge is another type of like puzzle game, and I didn't really delve that much into it. Like, it didn't really do anything for me. Like, it wasn't bad, it just wasn't my cup of tea.
All right, well, there you go. 7 games, $15. Verdict?
Heck yeah, buy it. This was a lot of fun, and it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you're not familiar with any of this stuff.
Nice. At California Games, play some Hacky Sack. Next game, Moving Houses, developed by Gordon Little and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released April 16th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $12.99. There comes a time in everyone's life when they must leave their home behind and find another. Now in Moving Houses, it's your turn, whether you really want to leave or not. Enjoy a silly physics-based game about moving as you box up your life while immersed in casual, comfy gameplay and the instant gratification of task-based gamification of packing chores. Be neat, be careful, or be a chaos goblin. The choice is yours. Aki, I'm guessing chaos.
No. God, no. No, 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 no. No. This is a game where you're packing up your house. That means every box has a certain amount of crap you can put in it, and by God, I am fitting exactly that much crap in it. I am not just putting one item in a box and tossing it in there. No, 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 no. I would lose my fucking mind. Literally just, you're literally just packing up a house. Except for, there's some weird stuff about this house. For instance, hey, you forgot this room that I swear wasn't there earlier. Or hey,
oh shit, it's one of these games? Oh yes. Shit, it's one of these. Oh, I don't want to hear too much.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah, we reviewed this when it came out on Steam too, and it was yes, really good.
We both did.
Oh yes. Man.
And that's why I got it on here, because I liked it.
I'm playing it tomorrow.
Nice. Oh, it's just okay, as good.
Give us a little bit of it.
Okay. So, yeah, the horror in this is that the inside does not match the outside in any conceivable way, very quickly anyways. There's also occasionally some stuff that pops up that might lead you to think something fucked up may have happened in this building at some point. As you get glimpses of, maybe someone's past? Who knows? It's never really explained. It's just there to fester. Have fun! otherwise, you're picking up big shit and just throwing it into the back, and it automatically gets itself packed up. And all the small stuff, you can grab little boxes, you can bring them into the house, and start packing small stuff into it. As you level up, because there are level up mechanics in this, you get the ability to run faster, to jump, to use a flashlight, to add more things into each individual box. So that's fun. After you beat it the first time, you unlock two additional modes. One of them, which is, I don't know if I would call it cut content. Basically, there's a level of the game that they changed how you beat it, and they added in the old way as its own little special thing, being like, hey, yeah, we changed this, but hey, it's a little extra bit of game for you to play. Have fun with it if you want. Mm. And then there's also an extended mode, which is the same exact base game, but you have more shit to pack up, which is all you really need in life. these kinds of games are like my kind of games. I like packing and unpacking shit. This is like the best. The only thing that could make this better is if they were packing it into a briefcase and you could like pack individual items like it's an inventory from like Resident Evil or something like that. Yes, that this is the type of game I love is this shit right here. This is my crack. Okay. And you play for hours, literal hours, and you just go through this packing crap up, throwing it into the back of the box, going grab more boxes, packing it up, throwing it in the back. That's just all you do, and it's fucking glorious. And then, you know, you get some horror, very light horror elements. It's not...
Yeah, liminal space horror. Yeah.
Thank you. I can never remember the name, liminal.
It's not a crazy game.
Yeah, it's... This probably wouldn't even scare children. It's just made to make you feel a little uncomfortable if you have problems with liminal spaces. I don't. I think they're fun. So this doesn't bother me. This was just fun. And again, the ending music is still here and it's still great and I love it. So you have to beat it at least once so you can hear the song that plays during the credits. It is amazing. That's really all there is to this, is you pack it up, you throw it in the back of the vehicle, and go pack up more dog shit, and it is great.
$12.99, worth it?
Yes, 100%. This is a fantastic game. Yes.
If you're still on the fence, for the next 2 weeks, it's $10.39.
Even better.
Even better.
Save $2.50.
See, what they need to do is on Steam and Xbox and stuff, they need to make a little bundle and have moving houses and unpacking and just put them together. Because then you get to pack all the shit up and you get to unpack everything and life is so much better. I love both of those games.
Yeah. All right, next, Finding Frankie, developed by Superloop, published by Perp Games, released April 15th. Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Finding Frankie invites you to a true experience of terror as you compete in a terrifyingly twisted parkour show. Stealthily investigate around horrifying characters and swing through challenging parkour courses. This is one game show you won't want to miss. Our friend Horror Acolyte covered the horror game and wrote in a review. Do you enjoy mascot horror games? Do you enjoy Fall Guys? Well, do I have a game for you? Welcome to the world of Finding Frankie, a parkour mascot horror game. Popular mascot Frankie, a lovable rabbit character, has a special promotion in his delicious Frankie's Fruit Flakes cereal. Four lucky individuals will find a special VHS tape in their favorite cereal, inviting them to participate in an exclusive game show at Frankie's Parkour Palace, the world's largest indoor trampoline, water, and parkour park. Just so happens you're one of these favored souls that will have a shot at the grand prize of $5 million. Upon arrival, each contestant puts on an identical bunny costume and takes their place at the starting line. Why are you wearing that stupid bunny suit? Because this event is being broadcast live to thousands of viewers. I wish our show was being broadcast to thousands of viewers. As soon as the event begins, a metal shutter opens with Frankie making a swift entrance, grabbing one contestant with his large red metallic claws and ripping their head off with his razor-sharp fangs. His demonic-looking rabbit head maintaining a gleeful grin as his limbs extend, joined together by long metal coils, allowing him to reach out across the room and dispose of the other two contestants as he lets out a maniacal laugh. You only have one option, run. As you make it to the next room, you find a brief reprieve, an announcer for the event exclaiming that Frankie doesn't feel like himself today. He doesn't usually go on mass murdering sprees. Now you begin your quest to find out what is actually going on with this game show and its grand host, and more importantly, trying your best to stay alive. After the shock settles from your first horrific encounter with Frankie, you'll find an introductory obstacle course that teaches you the mechanics of the game. Your character has a basic jump, a very useful slide ability to maneuver under obstacles or gain some extra momentum while running. You can grab onto certain bars that leap over gaps, grind on the occasional rail, or jump on small trampolines to gain extra height. Frankie is not the only resident you'll come across. You'll also become acquainted with his friends, Henry Hotline and Deputy Duck. Most of the game consists of using your parkour skills to explore the complex or trying your best to evade Frankie and his pals. The indoor park may have been a joyous haven for kids in its prime, but it does not appear to have been maintained very well, becoming stained and dirty over the years, especially since it started hosting this crazy game show. Now, certain areas are covered in blood and proudly display the corpses of fallen contestants, some found hanging from the ceiling or piled up on the floor, still dressed in their bunny outfits to show off what remains of their competitive spirit. Number of rooms contain locked shutters that can only be opened by interacting with a series of time circuits in an area. Occasionally, you'll come across one of the mascots and have to evade them, moving as quickly as you can through narrow hallways, jumping over or sliding under obstacles blocking your path. During these chases, Frankie's thunderous stomping can be heard approaching you, unrelenting, one mistake away from him catching his prey, crushing your skull under his red clown shoes. Fortunately, death is forgiving, your character respawning at the beginning of the current sequence. Keep you on edge, Frankie will sometimes just appear from around a corner, not giving chase, but making his presence known just to taunt you. Other times, he can be heard skulking around through the environment out of sight, plotting his next attempt on your life. There are a few areas with obstacle courses that are very reminiscent of those found in the popular game Fall Guys, complete with cheerful but frantic music to get you in the mood to compete. Badly enough, the obstacle courses are too elaborate, most detailed ones being those copied from Fall Guys. Admittedly, I've not played an abundance of mascot-based horror games, but finding Frankie did not feel particularly terror-inducing. There are a few predictable but decent jump scares, and Frankie himself does look pretty cool. Some of the atmospherics are done well, especially the music during a few of the chase sequences and obstacle courses. Actual parkour mechanics to the game are a little underwhelming, nothing too challenging, and actually using them doesn't feel very satisfying, other than the slide ability. There was a description on the Xbox Store page for the game that mentioned stealthily sneaking around enemies. This is definitely not a stealth game. If anything, the game is designed in a way that encourages speedrunning it, with a timer automatically being displayed as soon as the game begins. There isn't much of a narrative to be found. There are some optional collectible Frankie dolls that you could find, which is pretty much the only major incentive to explore thoroughly. Even with a somewhat in-depth exploration of the complex, the runtime on the game is quite short, probably only around 2 or 3 hours for most, easily under 2 if you're trying to get through each area quickly. Ultimately, finding Frankie is a horror experience that I feel will mostly resonate with younger audiences, especially those who are fans of mascot horror and Fall Guys. Jump scares are being chased to easily frighten you. You'll definitely get a few scares from this one. For those individuals, I would give this title a buy it rating, maybe on sale though, isn't there isn't a whole lot going on. The older fans of the horror genre, I would give it a cautious try and pose the question, why are you wearing that stupid man suit? I think it looks good on me.
Yeah, you see, now you know exactly how to get our show broadcast to thousands of people. You just murder have to you? Have a murder. Well, I wouldn't suggest me. I mean, there's a perfectly functional Jacob right there, but sure.
Yeah, he's functional.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Well, let's find out. Next game, right? Bear Escape Mission. Developed and published by Yume Games Studio. Released April 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $4.99 each. Bear Escape Mission is a casual platformer designed to be simple and relaxing. With 40 short and challenging levels, you'll guide a cute bear through obstacles at a light and pressure-free pace, thanks to infinite lives. Easy to play, fun to master, perfect for any player, anytime. Jacob, tell us about it.
casual my butt. Oh god, the only reason why it's casual is because, yeah, you have infinite lives and there's no timer. Okay, that's and there's no real enemies, but like there's still traps on this thing. Like there's still like really nitpicky, like, you know, do you better not get this off by a single pixel kind of things. And it's just, I was not having fun with this game. I was sold a bill of goods that this thing did not deliver. just by removing the enemies and not having a timer does not make this game casual or relaxing. If anything, this game was more infuriating for me because there were so many times that, like, I had to restart. And yeah, like, you don't die because you have infinite lives. You still restart at the back of the, like, at the beginning of the level. Like,
I was not pleased. If you're looking for a if you're looking for a casual game, this ain't it. If you like punishing yourself with platformers or ones that provide like an actual challenge, which, you know, could be seen as punishing yourself, then yeah, go for it. But again, this is a very misleading game.
It looks so cute and adorable too from the picture.
Does it now?
I should put your head on that bear.
I hate you.
$5. Verdict.
Again, if you're looking for a casual game, no. If you're looking for like a platformer that's going to give you a challenge, then yeah, go for it.
Rock on. One last game to talk about tonight, Crystal Ball of Firmament, developed by Healy's Games, published by Zilon, released April 15th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, PS4, PS5, $4.99 each. The spellbook is missing. Help the magician to find it in this action platformer adventure. Use the crystal ball to change between the day and night to make your path, collect tokens, buy useful upgrades. Venture out 4 different biomes, mountains, woods, winter forest, and the city, with a total of 32 levels. Wrapping the day and night cycle changes ambiental obstacles and enemies' behavior. Bree, tell us about this one.
This is a 2D puzzle platformer where you're a little mage, and you hold onto a crystal ball that changes the day-night cycle by shaking it. When you change to daytime, enemies might be vulnerable to damage, or there might be walls in your way. And when you change it to night, the wall might move, and there'll be new platforms available to jump on, but the enemies are out to get you. There are night and day coins to collect that eventually you can spend in the shop in level 8 for things like increased jump height. You have a health bar because you take damage from enemies and spikes and the like. The spikes are particularly rough because they're really tall, and you take damage from walking into the sides of them, as well as the top, and you'll often get stuck on the edge of them when jumping over them, which makes you take a bunch of damage, like repeatedly. And then the spikes are the same brown as the background rocks, so half the time I didn't even see them. This was just in the first area. Sometimes you'll have locks on the day-night walls and platforms you need to smash, so you have to use enemies to do it for you, which can be tricky. You can get some enemies, like, at during the daytime will follow you, or at nighttime they'll follow you, and they roll around, and they have, you can kill them during the daytime, but not at night, because they'll kill you, because they're spiky. The whole thing adds new layers of challenge as you go along. There's new enemy types and things to damage you, but basically you're only armed with a double jump. The goal is to find your way through a labyrinth of a level to get to the gold platform at the end, and eventually find the spellbook. Levels are broken up into different terrains like the desert and the forest. I did not have that much fun with this one.
No?
No. I found a lot of the mechanics to be frustrating. Often the crystal ball would seemingly change on its own at the worst possible time. Navigating the levels was a ton of guesswork that didn't feel logical at times. It wasn't a bad game. I just didn't like it.
That's fair. That's $5. What do you think?
I could give it a try. It
sounds generous for your opinion. I didn't like it. You could try it.
Yeah, again, it wasn't a bad game. It just wasn't good.
All right. Works for me. That is apparently it for this episode. We made it through. Thanks to y'all for being here, hanging out, keeping us company on this episode. Always love having you here. Music this episode. Does anyone have any suggestions?
No.
Nothing. Tiptoes through the tulips.
That works.
Tiptoes through the tulips.
You know.
Except for when he's singing it.
You know that idea?
Yeah, and now I'm back to Vader and Han Solo in Dreamlight Valley.
Oh my gosh.
Jacob deserves that. You know what else he deserves?
Conducted by John Williams.
The image on screen.
Oh God. That is horrendous. I love it.
That's horrific.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Difficult to masturbate to, but not impossible.
Jesus Christ.